Here.
Dr. Minter.
Here.
Mr. Smiley.
Here.
Mr. Wilkie.
Here.
And Mr. Zilke.
Thank you, David. Before we get started, let me say for myself, and I'm sure speaking for the board, Gary, we're quite sorry about your father-in-law and your loss, and all of us have been thinking about that, and your prayers and your family's prayers have been in our hearts, and we'll be thinking about you throughout the day. Also, this morning, I want to heartily congratulate Melissa Dennison for being reappointed to the board. That's an asset to us, and we're all delighted about that. I would say the same thing to Larry in spirit. He's not here this morning, but officially want to say that on Larry's part also. We're going to take a motion to approve the previous minutes, but let me make a statement here. First quarterly meeting of January 27th. Please refer to the highlighted changes on pages 9 and 23. A couple of corrections there, very minor, but that has been done. And please note that the second quarterly meeting of April 22nd, 2010, the draft copy, the final copy will be presented for approval at the June 30th meeting. July 30th meeting. I'm always living in the past. But the minor changes on pages 9 and 23, so any other discussion on the minutes? Do I have a motion that those minutes be approved as?
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. I will ask that we move not rush, but expeditiously this morning. Dr. Ransdell will need to leave at 9:30 this morning to get to Louisville, so we're going to move along here. Now I'm going to call on David Porter for our Finance and Budget Committee report.
I will call on me to
Mr. Porter, I thought we'd want to go ahead and get a motion on the table, and then I'll have some comments about the first agenda item, which is approval of tuition fees.
Okay. First, action item is 1.1, the tuition and mandatory student fees. And I hear a motion that that, along with section 1.2, the operating budget,
be approved. So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion?
You were going to go first. Were you going to have
like
some comments?
Yeah, I'm going to have some comments
ahead.
And then
give us a.
Okay, and then we'll see. I'll answer any questions.
And we'll have discussion.
So the first agenda item, you have on page 3 the recommended tuition and fee schedule, which would be effective for the fall 10 semester. The tuition and fee schedule reflects the CPE's approval of a maximum rate increase for resident undergraduate students of 5% in recognition of the economy and trying to maintain economic access to higher education. We have flexibility in determining non-resident rates, graduate rates, and we give serious consideration to market competitiveness as well as affordability. One other item in regard to kind of a benchmark for tuition rates is that you note in the agenda item that Pell Grants for our most needy students are increasing this year. What we anticipate is the maximum Pell Grant will be $5,273, which addresses a significant financial need for students that even choose to live on campus and buy meal plans. $5,273 represents a $656 increase. Our recommended increase for a resident undergraduate student is $360 for the year. So it'll be very helpful to families. Your agenda item also provides just some information. Students that do choose to live in housing and buy meal plans. The housing rate increases are 2.6% to 4.2%. Meal plans are about 3%. So these are across the board affordable increases, but necessary for inflationary costs. May I answer any questions? Kevin, did you have a question in regard to tuition?
I just had some discussion. A few things. I'll be very brief this morning. There's kind of two statistics that have jumped out at me when thinking about tuition. And obviously, this is a very modest increase, and this is the sort of increase that in this kind of environment you want to see. But I think it's probably also the kind of increase in other environments you may want to see too. And just the two statistics that have been in my mind have been, in the past, I believe it's 11 years, our tuition here at Western has gone up about 300%. And then also, our tuition last year, for the first time, I think in at least this modern era, exceeded the national average. Our tuition last year was about $7,200. College Board said average tuition at a four-year public university was $7,020. So it didn't exceed it by much, but just by about $180 there. And I think part of the reason our tuition has gone up, and the biggest part of the reason is because we're moving forward and because we're trying to do good things, trying to form this campus, trying to make academics a huge priority. And I think moving forward, and obviously this is my last meeting, my little charge as a student who's been on the ground and seen a lot of students who, you know, been told they have to leave their residence halls 24 hours later because maybe their mom forgot to fill out a FAFSA or, you know, they just can't come up with the money because they've had a bad health bill or two. I think it'll be interesting moving forward, especially as we move out of a recessionary environment, to really look at tuition increases in that context, knowing that we have moved forward and that we are moving forward. And I think each of our lines will come down differently. Certainly my line is going to be very different than your all's, just coming from my perspective. So in the future, I encourage as much budget discussion as we can have, as much tuition discussion as we can have. And I think for me, that line has been passed maybe 2 years ago. But for each of you, it's going to be different as you see the university through your own eyes. So I encourage you as you move forward to kind of take a good look at things. And I appreciate your all's time today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin.
Are there any other comments or discussion on the fees and tuition schedule?
Move into the budget, as I think your motion was to approve both agenda items at
yes.
the same time. Jeff, I don't think I have a...
I can do it for...
I'm not at a weird angle.
Okay, yeah. Right side forward.
Are we on the button too much? We'll be done this meeting real quickly.
Carry on.
I recall last year that I said I thought the highlight of the budget was the cover. And I think we I think we've topped it again. You should have the bound copy. I think it's a tremendous picture, and I hope you appreciate it, and maybe in future years we may feel as much pride about the inside of the budget.
And it even looks like he's asking for help up there.
Kim will tell you that was my only hesitation, as I thought Abe might have put the bucket out for donations. So I did, thank you, but I did have that slight reservation about whether I would use that tranquil picture. You're being asked to approve a budget $381,723,000, an increase of 8.4%. The E&G budget, primary, is the academic budget, increasing approximately the same amount. The unrestricted E&G is where we have most of our flexibility, primarily driven by state appropriation and tuition and fees. What you see is the increase in the budget is primarily being driven by a projected increase in restricted funds. Restricted funds are designated externally, with the largest source being the federal government for financial aid. The last area of the budget is auxiliary enterprises, as you know, self-supporting operations, bookstore, housing, centers. Where does our money come from? Tuition and fees accounts for 40.8% of our total budget. Largest source, consistent with the tuition and fee schedule I just presented, and reflects last year's enrollment, no enrollment growth. SFS, state fiscalization, easy for me to say, state fiscal stabilization funds. It's the federal funds that have allowed the state to deal with part of their revenue shortfall by replacing it with federal funds. We have about $4.4 million in this budget of SFS. It's approximately $1 million less than last year, and one of our concerns is fiscal year 11 is the last year of this source. So going into 12, we trust that the General Assembly will be able to make us whole. Self-generated revenue, revenue dependent is the terminology you hear often. Includes gifted studies, study abroad, Ag Exposition Center, professional services, numerous what I would call entrepreneurial activities where the revenue is generated and returned to the departments. Restricted funds, as I just indicated, actually I have a note here, Pell Grants, $38 million, so you can see why it is such a significant source to our budget. Auxiliary enterprises, which includes $10 million of bookstore operations. When you get to state operating, I separated out a small piece of designated state funding, which represents debt service and funding for the academy. The state operating amount, 18.6%, is $71 million. Let's go back just a few years in comparison. If you take the approximately 19% in state funding, the two designated and operating, and look at 2002, we were at 40%. 40% down to 19%. Now, I'll tell you the flip side of it is, yes, that tuition and fee number as a percentage has gone up, and unfortunately, there has been a shift in funding. Operating budget. This is a lot of details, but it helps you get the general idea of the volume of our funding. Approximately $27 million coming in grants and contracts continues to grow. Almost $57 million in financial aid funding. KEYS, CAP, Academic Competitiveness, Pell Grants. A very significant source making this access to this university a reality for many students. Working down to the bottom, we use the term public funds, state appropriation and tuition fees, where we have our most flexibility in being able to address our needs. Again, you've got about 60% of our budget coming from two sources. So we live and die by the fact of what the state appropriation changes and how we are able to adjust our tuition fees to cover our fixed cost and to try to continue moving us forward strategically. Again, I apologize for a lot of numbers, but this was in your executive summary, and I feel pretty strongly about understanding how in 1 year's time, 1 year ago, you approved a budget. What's happened from that approved budget to this approved budget? We had an approved reduction in state funding through the year. We had a reduction of $5.4 million in state funding replaced with federal funds of $5.4 million. Again, the stabilization funds for fiscal year 11 are going down by $1 million in the General Assembly, replace that loss in this approved budget. We still have a $1.1 million state reduction to implement. We found out about this reduction rather late in the process, and we have not determined how to balance this budget. I would think anyone in this room, Kim and others, would say, I can't believe you allowed us to go forward with a budget that's not balanced. Well, technically it's balanced. We reduced the state appropriation on the revenue side, and if you look carefully, we have a negative budget for the budget reserve of $1,123,000. So technically the budget's balanced, but we have some work ahead of us between now and your fall meeting to determine how we pull $1.1 million out of the expenditure side. What does this mean in terms of state funding for operating? We are going down from budget to budget 4%. In terms of debt service, that's not an issue. Debt service reduction is a reflection of state bonds being paid off. So that's good news for the Commonwealth. A lot of the comprehensive universities are having debt retirement at about the same time. So those are state bonds. How to balance the budget. We challenged our graphic artists to figure out how to make a picture and tell you. It may not quite look right, but I think the leg of the stool for state appropriations is a bit short. So what that means is that in order to cover our operating costs, personnel costs are approximately 59% of our total budget. We're people driven. We have about $66 million in operating. We have about $12.7 million in debt service and $9 million in utilities. We are a large operation, and it was a challenge to figure out how we were going to bring a budget to you that would cover all of our projected fixed costs. Following are our primary sources in order to be able to cover these costs, which I'll have a list for you. We're projecting an increase of almost $6 million in tuition, which we'll generate in the fall. We hope to generate in the fall and spring semester. We've committed to returning summer school, doctoral program, and tuition revenue generated by DLO back to those respective units. We fell short of a balanced budget, even in addition to the $1,000,001 in state appropriation. At this point, we have $407,000 projected as non-recurring funds to support recurring costs. We'll come back with a recommendation. We will have two choices, probably. One is to say that this will be the first call on any enrollment growth going into fiscal year 12, because it is recurring costs. Or we will add this $400,000 to the $1.1 million which we have to do to cover on the state appropriation shortfall. But we identified the bare minimum we could in terms of allocations and finally came down and said, fine, these are necessary costs, as you'll see, and we didn't have any choice but to actually show a non-recurring allocation. We categorize our cost into unavoidable fixed costs and other commitments, $8.8 million. Fixed cost increases, mandated increase in retirement system contributions, unemployment compensation, library books, contractual obligations, faculty promotions. The campus additions, we did not receive any funding from the Commonwealth to help us open new facilities. Scholarships and financial aid. We have rate increases, as you see, that we will offset. Our scholarships go up as the tuition rates go up. We have, in some programs, slight increases in acceptance rates that we need to recognize. And we continue to expand our capacity to retain our Gatton Academy graduates. We have a policy of offsetting the tuition rate increase for graduate assistants. So that takes $6 million of almost $9 million. Other commitments, we have a requirement by the federal government relating to our website access, and this maintenance of this requires us to have a full-time person. It is absolutely overwhelming the number of individual websites we have and have to ensure that we have access. We're very pleased, as those of you that were at the gala, we're very pleased with the Van Meter Hall renovation. That was the good news. Maybe perhaps the bad news is that we needed a highly trained individual to be able to operate the equipment to make sure that the performances are top-notch. So we've hired or will be hiring a technical director for Van Meter. We have, by board policy, restricted tuition. The restricted tuition increases approximately 2.3% for those respective programs. One is necessary to keep our student labs, health services, and to continue giving expanded programs needing SGA and I think it's Student Centers Board. This is the ninth of tenth year that we are returning the revenue from parking to back to the parking and transportation program. We're almost there. $2 million distribution from the DLO tuition, online, dual credit, independent learning, very successful programs. Again, EDD and summer school. So that's about $2.8 million. As I referenced, we are heavy in personnel out of the unrestricted E&G budget, approximately $159 million. And again, you've seen some of these other numbers as it relates to utilities and debt service. So that's where the challenge is when you go to balance the budget, is that if you have so much money invested in people and that are necessary to provide the services, you get tough choices going ahead about how to implement any budget reduction. The second part of your budget book is actually the capital budget. We have about $101 million in authorized projects. Let me clarify, that says authorized, not necessarily what we will spend. The authorization reflects more than one biennium. Buildings like the College of Education, state-funded, take many years, or 18 months, I don't know, 2 years. Mr. Russell, how long does it take to do the College of Education building?
A little less than 18 months.
Okay. So it reflects more than one biennium anyway, and it includes in that $101 million authorization to spend our money on selected projects should we have the funds. So you're always better off to make sure you have legislative authorization should a project move forward. No new state-funded projects, no deferred maintenance matching pool. We have always, state matching on deferred maintenance has been critical for us moving our electrical underground electrical project forward. For the next 2 years, the only way to move that forward is with our own resources. Try to get a little more positive. We anticipate projects to be completed in the next year. Education, the Nicely Center addition, Colonial Courts, some federal funds for shuttle buses, expansion in the music hall for Ivan Wilson. So if you look at this list, obviously you know it's state funds for the College of Education, federal funds for the buses, but the rest we're doing because of our entrepreneurial spirit and our ability to commit to some debt service as we did for the Ivan Wilson Hall. So what would Abraham Lincoln say? Determine that the thing can and shall be done, and then we shall find the way. Any questions on the budget?
I just had a question about, thank you for that excellent narrative. I just had a question about the debt service, and I'm looking at page 10 of the board action item 2, which corresponds to the larger budget book. So the combined restricted and unrestricted debt service is $13.2 million. Is it correct? I was looking to make sure I had the correct number. It's 4.7% of the unrestricted E&G budget, right?
That sounds about right. I don't think I've calculated it.
Okay.
And if you take this, if you take a budgeted debt service that would include state supported
yeah.
and our own agency bonds, yeah.
Okay, so 4.7 is the right number.
That sounds about right, yeah.
Okay, and I mean, while that is an overall low percentage of the total budget, just going forward, I just want to caution the board that every dollar that we put into debt service is a dollar we can't spend anywhere else for approximately 30 years. So that, and that does remain a concern for some faculty who've seen their fellow institutions getting into such debt trouble that they can't do the things they want to do. So just going forward, I'll make that cautionary note.
That number is, I usually try to get everybody to stay at the 20-year debt, but your point's still valid. That's existing bonds, except for a small amount, approximately $1 million, that we have been holding potentially for the next renovation of DUC.
Right.
This budget doesn't include any plans to issue any bonds in fiscal year 11.
Right.
We'll have discussions going into 12 about the needed renovations at DUC.
Right. And your narrative about the projects that are approved but not budgeted in the budget is particularly helpful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I might add, though, that our debt service is not high. That's a pretty low debt service. Be commended here.
I would agree. $382 million budget and only have 4.7% dedicated to debt service is an incredibly low debt ratio. I wish our personal debt ratios for our mortgages were ever that low. So I mean,
business would be different, wouldn't it?
But if we can keep our debt at 5% or below, that's an incredible testament to our financial stability.
A real good goal.
Any more comments or questions? I know it went quickly. It's a complex budget. We try to sometimes help legislators understand that there are so many sources that we have coming in, and we have so many needs on the other side to address everything from instruction, research, public service. There are so many programs that touch so many people.
There are no other comments or questions or discussion. I want to commend Ann and Kim. Great job. This was a most difficult budget process, particularly with the timing that was beyond our control with the General Assembly failing to pass a budget in regular session, having to come back in special session, the specter of the possibility of a budget not being approved presented a cloud of uncertainty throughout this process, and for them to prepare with some assumptions and then be prepared to move very quickly after the special session ended to have this budget in place and circulated to you in time to have this meeting before the end of the fiscal year was a very challenging sequence. And I really commend everybody involved in our financial affairs division, but Kim as budget director, great job. Great job. Well done.
Thank you. And I'd like to thank Stacy Garrett. She's our budget analyst, and she was very instrumental in helping us develop it and pull it together this year. So
They do a tremendous job. Kind of on a humorous note, you've been around a woman that's expecting a baby, and you're kind of like looking in and say, haven't you had that baby yet? Well, we were kind of that way about putting the budget together. Do we have a budget yet? Do we have a budget yet? Wanting to know what Frankfurt would do, because some people think, well, you have a budget when Frankfurt's done, and these two ladies had a tremendous amount of work to do once Frankfurt was done, and to deliver you a budget. Thank you, Kim and Stacy. They make my life a lot easier. Okay, we ready for approval?
I'll call the question for the approval of the tuition and mandatory student fee schedule in the 2010-11 operating budget. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Nay.
The motion carries. Both measures. Mr. Chair, I think this completes the report.
Thank you, sir. And thank you, Ann, and your group. Very, very, very well done. Before we go on to the next item, let me call on Gary. Dr. Bransdale wants to want to have a few comments before he gets on.
A couple things I've left at each of your place settings, actually four. As you go 10W30 on it.
There's no oil in the budget.
You got a can in your garage?
As this board well knows, we are in a bit of a period of transition, just by coincidence and circumstance, but also in any complex organization that has held an executive team together as long as we have for several years, transition does occur. And because you certainly must be tracking some of our searches, I wanted you to have some snapshot of the collection of searches underway. And so I've outlined about a dozen of them for you, outlined who the search committee chair will be and whether the position has been filled or the date that we had expected to be filled. And we are about halfway through the process that is engaging each of these searches. So that's just for your information. So you can track some of these, and we'll keep you posted as we go along on that, but I thought that would be helpful for you to have that chronology. Secondly, in that regard, I want to be sure that you have the announcement of Dr. Gordon Bayless as our Vice President for Research and President of the WKU Research Foundation. Dr. Bayless's resume is attached, and the position announcement for his appointment goes out, late yesterday afternoon, so you'll be reading about that today. He's an incredible scholar, and his resume is attached for your detailed reading. I won't go into all of his, but most significantly, his work as Vice President for Operations for Health Sciences South Carolina, which combines the health science centers at the University of South Carolina and the Medical University of South Carolina in Charleston. But his work as Vice Provost, Associate Provost at the University of South Carolina, Associate Vice President for Research, and even his duties as Associate Dean for the College of Liberal Arts, gives him a well-rounded pedigree and set of experiences in growing research capacity at a very high level at a complex research institution. And we're delighted with his scholarly credentials and the partnership he brings with Dr. Gordon Emsley, who begins his duties as provost in another week or so. So this is, I want to commend Dr. Keith Andrew, the head of our Department of Physics and Astronomy, who chaired that search process, and the search committee worked diligently and had a really superb pool of final candidates together. This is a great academic appointment for us, and I could not be more delighted. And he will begin his duties on August 16, and I look forward to introducing him to you at that time, and I have asked that he be here for our board meeting on the 30th of July, so we'll have a chance to introduce him to you then. But his credentials are here for your reading, and another important step for us. Excuse me. Again, following this same theme, we have begun the search for the Vice President for Development and Alumni Relations, and I've included a summary of that process for you as well. So you can track that process. The Parker Executive Search out of Atlanta will be the search firm that we have engaged to lead us through that search process. Dan Parker was on campus yesterday, met with a search committee that's being chaired by Alex Downing, the president of the College Sites Foundation, and the profile of Dan Parker and Laurie Wilder, the two principals in that firm that will assist us in this search, are enclosed for you. But again, a description of how we will follow that process is enclosed for you, given the importance of that appointment as well. So significant actions that will cement our senior executive team for many years going forward are in motion, and I'm very pleased with the actions taken thus far and what I expect will happen with the last one, of which I'm aware, of the vice president level positions that we're filling. So I hope those points of information will be helpful to you as you track these searches. And then finally, the date for the governor's conference on trusteeship will be coming up. That date is Sunday, September 12th through Monday, the 13th. Information is attached for you. We'll be getting more detailed information out. Julia will be following up with you in that regard, but those are dates you might want to go on and get on your calendar. It will be in Northern Kentucky at the Marriott Cincinnati Airport in September. So those are things I wanted to share with you, and we'll get all this information to Larry this afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Let's move on. I'm going to call on Dr. Melissa Dennison, who chaired the nominating committee for officers for coming year.
I'd like to turn to page 13. I would like to present the following people for offices. Mr. Jim Meyer, Chair. Ms. Yvette Haskins, Vice Chair. Mr. David Porter, Secretary. And Ms. Ann Meade would remain on as Treasurer.
I move to approve the nominating committee's recommendation.
Second.
Question? Vote. Everybody in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed?
Thank you, Dr. Dennison. And thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I'll be in your hair one more year here. Okay, let's move on now to the executive committee. There's one information item doesn't require any vote. I do have a comment here. The tabulation of the evaluations have been sent out to you for your review. And just let me make a brief statement here. Recently, President Razzle's performance was evaluated by the board. After all submitted evaluations were tabulated, the results were clear. I am pleased to announce the majority of the board members gave stellar reviews of Dr. Ransdale, both this year and over the years. In a time of severe budget cuts and economic instability, President Ransdale understands the importance of increasing enrollment and retaining faculty and staff. It is evident from our evaluations President Ransdale's hard work is leading WKU in the right direction. There's no vote on this. In fact, should not really be any conversation about it. It was it's what we do each year, and we just wanted to make that comment. And that concludes the information for the executive committee. And I will now move on to other business and just state the, I think we're going to do the academic affairs in that next meeting.
Correct.
Moving on to other business, upcoming committee and board meetings for your review right there. We got a meeting July 29th. You all have gotten word on these. There's been a couple of changes to these dates, and third quarter meeting July 30th. Council of Education Trustee Conference, September 13th. Dr. Ransdale mentioned that a minute ago. The meeting is the 24th of 2010, and then the fourth quarterly meeting is the 22nd of October. And we will all be back for homecoming the 30th of October and commencement December 18th. Any other business that needs to come before this the meeting? I might say that if there isn't, we made a record today. This is the shortest one in all the years I've been involved. This shortest one we've ever had. Do I entertain a motion that we adjourn?
So moved.
I'm so stunned.
All those in favor?
I'm so stunned.
Rob, you're all right.
Hey, well, I'm not going anywhere. I'm on the next committee.